actually is coffee shop, everyone.
Oh my gosh.
If you missed last week, you really need to go back and watch it because we're continuing our discussion with Toby and Charisse Parton on their miraculous healing of Charisse's heart and how she was healed and ended up getting her pacemaker taken out, which, as most of you know, or you might not know, they never take out pacemakers. Like, that's not something they do. Once it goes in, it's in, and it stays there. We're going to continue this story, but if you did miss last week, you really need to go back and watch it because the lead up to all of this is so incredible. Nice. So let's just continue to go in. So okay. Last week we left where you had just kind of gotten in a fight with God and said, God, why won't you heal my wife? You said that you would. Why haven't you done it yet?
What does this do to your faith? It questions everything. It kind of forces you to really dig in deep and find some ground that you can stand on in the storm,
right,
which is Christ every time. But it questions all of that. Our resolve was we can't quit. We can't quit on God. He's our only hope.
Right.
We have to keep going no matter the results. We have to keep going because that's the only thing we had going for us.
Yeah.
Ton of people praying. We continued in church that we were going to, our little home church, such a sweet church. We just kept getting fed by God, continued having a lot of prayer, and just putting our trust in God. Job 13:15 says, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Sometimes we just have to die out to all the things that
no
are
fun.
Out of our control.
That's true.
The process. And we have to really say, God, do I trust you or not?
Yeah, that's the deal.
If you do, then you quit trying to control the outcome.
Yeah.
Like the when is it going to happen or the where or the how. Yeah. That's not in the promises. The promise just says he will.
That's a great point.
He will. But it's the when, God, that really we wrestle with and the how, God. And so we can't put a timeline on how God does things. He's going to package that however he wants to, but he will never fail.
That's right.
He will never let you down. He'll never be late. Even though you think it's getting late.
It's like, hello.
We needed you months ago. Where are you?
Exactly.
He's never late. He's always on time. So that's probably February-ish. From February to August, we just continue going to church, being faithful. Every time the church doors are open, she's still
sick. So sick.
Horrible. And it was back in the late 90s, or was this early?
This would be early 98 now.
98?
Yeah,
okay.
On this journey.
Yeah.
And we just stick to our guns, you know. And go through the daily routine of taking care of the kids and making sure we're at work and paying the bills the best we can and staying faithful to church.
Yeah.
And month after month continues to click off and still in the back of our mind, we're hanging on to these promises. God, you said. God, you said you were going to heal her.
Yeah.
The prophecy we had. Well, August rolls around. There's a healing crusade in St. Louis. And I think maybe this is the time. You know, you go to every church service hoping.
Yeah,
this is the time.
You know,
maybe this
thing.
Is the time. She doesn't want to go to St. Louis. She don't feel like going.
Well, the deal is, too, I joke about it, but, you know, growing up in the church that I grew up in, that moniker over the door, basically, we didn't acknowledge the Book of Acts. I mean, it was just like, what do you mean healing? That's cute. I'd never seen it. Never heard about it. And I joke that I had a drug problem as a child. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Right.
You know? So I grew up my entire life in church, but never heard healing. So his background
was
and
different.
Knowing and hearing and seeing, and then him saying, let's go to this healing crusade. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm not going to that. That's woo-woo. You know, all the things. And
there's a little bit of an argument that ensues because I'm fighting for her life. And I think this may be the time. She's like, I ain't going. And she had a great point, guys. We can't put God in a little box. We cannot. He's too big to fit in our little ideologies.
Right, right.
And she said, if God wants to heal me, he can do it right here. How do you argue with that,
I'm a little stubborn.
I said, he can. He's not limited.
No.
But this was what the Lord gave me, I believe, to kind of get her to St. Louis. I said, well, what if he wants to heal her up there?
Yeah.
We don't know where.
Well, even in the Bible, when he's healed people before, he said, hey, you need to go do this to get your healing. Yeah. So sometimes you have to go to get the healing.
Yeah.
So we struggle with that. And I said, well, what if he can heal you here. And he does that to a lot of people right here, right now, instantly. But he might want you to go somewhere or do something specific. And just what if he wants to do it up there? We don't know. I don't want to miss the chance.
Yeah.
So I said, you don't even have to talk to me. She's upset at me at the time.
I didn't.
I said, we'll put on some great
for
worship.
For 4.5 hours, I didn't talk to him. The whole drive up there.
It'll be perfect. Like, you don't even have to talk to me. I said, we'll just turn on some worship music, have some good praise and worship going in the car. We'll take a nice little stroll. It was like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Whatever to get up there. So we just took a drive to St. Louis and wound up at the Kill Center, standing in line, and got there like 3 hours before the church service started.
Yeah.
And this was the day, 11 months from Ronnie Webb's prophecy that God was going to heal her. 11 months later, this was the day that we didn't know that we were stepping into right here.
Wow.
Oh, wow. And you wind up, we're in Kill Center, which is this huge athletic coliseum.
Yeah,
probably holds 10,000.
St. Louis Blues play there. I mean, their hockey, there's a lot. It's huge. It probably seats 30,000. It's a big, you know, metropolitan arena.
Huge arena. We're several flights of stairs up. If you're facing the stage, we'd be up on the right side of the stage, kind of in the chairs there, maybe middle.
Nosebleeds.
Probably a third of the way from the floor up, quite a ways away. No one else is there. We're super early. We're like 3 hours early. But they're having a healing. It's a healing crusade is what it is.
Yeah.
So they've brought in and invited anyone that's sick, that wanted special prayer, that was in wheelchairs.
Before the service.
Before the service. And they're gathered on the floor in front of the stage, and they've got a prayer team that's just specifically been there praying for the sick. And we're just sitting there kind of kicked back. We got our soda.
Yes, I did
and
drink
we're just
soda
watching.
Then, Stephanie.
we're just kind of watching the events. And taking it all in and hoping this was the day. And there was a gentleman from the prayer crusade that somehow came. We were right by the aisle. He come walking down the aisle past us. And I heard God whisper like he does sometimes to us. And in my heart, I heard the Lord say, get him. He's supposed to pray for Charisse. And this is what I said to God. God, I'm staying out of this one. I will mess it up. I'm out. I'm going to mess it up because my mind goes back to my arguing with God and all that whole struggle and how.
And in the meantime, I'm sitting there with my Bible. He's got his Bible. We're studying, you know, reading some things. And some of the kids from our youth group that are no longer kids are here today. So they will attest to the fact that Toby is the Bible guy. I'm the fun one. I'm just the fun. Let's have a game. Let's do a thing. So, you know, I'm not the Bible girl. So this is what I do. I have my Bible and I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm like, okay, we are here. We drove all this way. If you want to speak to me and if you're real, I'm from Missouri. You're going to have to show me. Prove it to me. Literally. And so I take my Bible and I'm doing the thing where you close the eyes and you flip the pages and then you do this. And then my finger landed on Psalm 6. And my version, my translation said, have compassion on me. Lord, I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my body is in agony. I am sick at heart. Oh. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? And the minute that happened, this little Baptist girl went, whoop, electricity from my head to my feet. I shook harder than an earthquake, and I literally, and I'm a little bit of a germaphobe, distance, and this girl with sandals and, you know, I think I had crop pants on. I don't know why I can remember that. Slid out of that chair in the spirit into the bubblegum and popcorn under the seats.
Wow.
And then at the time, he's having this argument with God. I'm staying out of it. And then I'm kind of coming to, and I'm like, wham! I hit him as hard as I could, and I said, he's supposed to pray for me.
So you just told him what God had said to him, and did you go get the guy?
That confirmed it.
Yeah.
That confirmed it in me, because what happened was I kind of pushed that down. I thought I would mess it up because my horrible attitude.
Well, plus
I had,
she's already mad at you, so then you grab the guy to come pray for her.
Right, right, true. Good point.
Yeah.
Confirmation. Yes.
Confirmation. That's what it is.
And between men and women, God can do that in a marriage. Yeah. My husband and I have done that so many times. We don't even know what the other one's thinking, but then one of us will say, and it's like, that's what I was going to do or say.
Yeah, exactly.
So what happened?
So as soon as she hits me with her elbow and says, get him, he's supposed to pray for me. That's all I needed to hear. I fly out of the seat. I run down there. Long story short, we get his attention. We bring him back. What's powerful is when I tell him down on the floor, I said, he turned around and he said, son, tell me, what is it? And I said, we believe you're supposed to pray for my wife. Immediately, God confirmed that to him. And wow. He said, take me to her. God's going to heal her.
Oh, my goodness.
That was his exact words. And you don't think about it in the moment. You're just caught up in this
right.
moment.
Of course.
But thinking back, you're like, wow, how God orchestrates every detail of our life.
Absolutely.
That we're not even thinking about.
Right.
And how he uses his people to minister.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. He walks straight to her, and that's when he prays for her. She goes out, blacks out, under the anointing. She's wallowing in the popcorn and
bubble gum. This was a very good blackout.
It was.
Yeah,
this was
the only time that it was an okay one.
Oh, wow. And it's a very short sequence of events.
Yeah.
I mean, 15, 20 seconds, God has completely restored her.
And
we're just kind of on the front side of that trying to figure that out.
Yeah, like, so cool.
She healed? Is she healed? Well, what just
happened?
This guy
says, well, you know, tell me what's going on, what has happened, what, you know, blah, blah. Do something that you couldn't do before.
Right.
And again, the germaphobe kicked off her shoes, and I ran from the floor to the top of Kiel Center.
Oh,
and if you
goodness.
Could see the distance, it's like JQH on steroids.
Right.
So you're just run, come back down. He said, do it again. Run.
How do you feel?
How do you feel? I'm fine. My heart's fine. I'm breathing. I'm running like I did in high school. He said, do it again. Da-da-da-da-da.
Three times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Up steep flights of stairs.
Yeah.
Stairs,
right? No, in those
like
arenas, they're very steep.
They're
and they're like... Yeah, it's a workout
not
just
even
going
out
up
of breath.
Once.
Yeah.
She goes from not being able to fold laundry to racing up.
Like a gazelle.
Like a
it was
gazelle.
Crazy.
Three
it was
times
crazy.
And not even out of breath.
Yeah.
And just weeping and crying and praising
it's
and
beautiful.
Worshiping in the moment.
That's
now, God
incredible.
Can just,
in your obedience
day, huh?
to
it
take
a
her.
Barefoot.
Sometimes it pays to listen.
Yes, it does.
Occasionally.
I tell Joe that all the time. So you need to listen. But in your obedience to say, well, maybe we need to go.
Yeah.
She wasn't happy about that, but that's when
Can
God
I say I won that,
that
argument?
Check mark.
It might be the last one he won. But.
That's okay. That's a big one. That's a big one.
It's an important one.
That was a big one.
So
that's awesome.
Was that a lasting healing then, or did you kind of have
well,
a relapse?
No, I never
what
had.
Happened?
I never had any relapse whatsoever. And actually, I had gone not too long after we got back. When we were at this crusade, this healing crusade, they have doctors, staff doctors that pull you into a back room, talk to you. What were you going through? What do you, you know? And after unpacking all of that to them, they always tell you, don't stop taking your medication. Don't stop doing what you're supposed to be doing and what your doctor has said to do. But go back to your doctor and talk to them.
Up.
And, you know, so.
We do have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
The Bible makes it very clear in James and Matthew that God wants us to care for the least of these. The orphans, the neglected children who have, for any number of reasons, found themselves alone without the family they were born into. God says that by taking care of these children, whom He holds so dear, we're actually caring for God Himself. The sad truth is that in many cases, the loss is only part of the problem. They've had to live through unspeakable trauma, neglect, abuse, and abandonment, situations most of us could not even fathom. Every year, Skywatch TV, Simply His Coffee Shop, and Defender Publishing partner with you, our viewers, to help support and work alongside ministries like ForTheChildren.org, Royal Family Kids Camps, and teenreach.org to make a real difference in the lives of these children through the work done at Whispering Ponies Ranch, underwritten by the nonprofit Skywatch TV Ministry. This year, for your donation of $35 plus shipping and handling, you can take part in the Whispering Ponies Ranch special offer. Included in this amazing offer is a copy of Nita Horn, the founder of Whispering Ponies Ranch, book, No Fences, It Started with a Plastic Pony. This sometimes heartbreaking, exquisitely told, and often hilarious memoir is the inspiring true story of a poor little girl's dream of horses and where that love would eventually lead. Nita Horn's journey through triumph, loss, survival, sacrifice, devotion, acceptance, forgiveness, and finally, success in Christ will stir your heart and offer you hope in the many seasons of life we all stand to face. But that's not all. You'll also receive the copy of the emotional DVD, Camp, which was inspired by the real-life testimonies and stories of the campers who have been through the Royal Family Kids Camps over the years. You'll learn about these unique and special summer camps designed to help draw children out of their dark pasts and into a bright future. Camp will inspire you and others to find hope in the midst of the most difficult circumstances that life can offer. And as a special bonus, you'll receive your very own Whispering Ponies Ranch keychain and mug. This is our way of saying thank you for partnering with us to do all that we can to help the least of these. Get your copy of the Whispering Ponies Ranch special offer for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling and or join us as a pony or VIP sponsor. Available now through Skywatch TV and the Simply His Coffee Shop at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
And don't stop doing what you're supposed to be doing and what your doctor has said to do, but go back to your doctor and talk to them up. And, you know, so.
Did you do that?
No. Well, I did do that. I did do one part. That day I stopped taking this medication, which was allegedly keeping me alive. I stopped it immediately, which they tell you not to do, so don't do that. That was my, I'm a little.
That was your
stubborn.
Choice.
I'm a little stubborn. It was my choice, my life. But I did go back to Dr. Barron, and he was a very soft-spoken Indian man, brilliant. And I said, you're going to think I'm nuts. And, of course, here's this little Baptist girl who doesn't believe in healing telling a doctor that I'm fine. And so I said, you're going to think I'm nuts, but I'm healed. Like, the Lord has healed me completely. So we can just take this out now. And he was like,
did he believe you?
He said very few words. He checked a few things. They have this thing that they put over your pacemaker back then.
So you were talking about the pacemaker.
Yeah.
You were telling him, take this out.
I don't need
out.
It. I don't need it. Take it out. So what we did is he, you know, checked it and did a few things. And I'm convincing him and trying to talk to him. And he's saying very few words. You know, just probably thinking in his mind, this woman is
crazy.
Lost her marbles. But I finally convinced him he would not take it out. He said, but I will turn it off. So they turned it off. The pacemaker continues to record. I had no idea. When I hear the words turn it off, it's like a light switch. Oh, it's just off.
Right.
You know, what's the point? So then we go through a multitude of years, unbeknownst to me, that my body is physically rejecting the pacemaker. And we didn't know that. I get these weird, my middle finger will swell like a hot dog in a microwave and turn black. And it would just swell and I can't move. And then they put it in an IV and they're doing Rocephin through IV and I'm in the hospital 7 days and they're afraid this infection's going to go to my heart. And so this continues to happen over and over and over.
How did you figure it out?
This...
Yeah.
Here's what happened. About every month and a half, this happens.
Okay.
And I'm going to our hometown physician, who's been our children's physician their whole life, and they're doing cortisone injections into the bone, like 16 into my hand, to get swelling to go down. This is happening over and over. And I know, you know, those kind of injections, what it does to your body, and I'm desperate. I'm seeking, you know, anything that I can find. And this is when the internet's kind of new and you're not having to do the Dewey Decimal System at the library.
Right.
And I found, I believe it was a study at Texas A&M, where cardiovascular patients, specific materials that they have allergic reactions to, and there's similar symptoms.
Yeah.
So, and I had joked with our doctor, I said, if you could just figure this out, I can get you published in the AMA. Let's just get this figured out. Let's get you in the paper. Because by this time, now I have insurance.
Okay.
And you know, in that system, you have to go to this one to get a referral to go to that one, to do the thing, to do the, okay. So I go to him, tell him what's going on. This is the study that I found. I want this pacemaker out. I'm a very assertive person in some respects.
Yeah, we can all attest to that.
Yeah. Mama wants what she wants. So I tell him that this is what I want to do. So I need you to give me the referral. I need to go back to Dr. Barron, do the things. Get back to Dr. Barron. And this is years.
Okay.
That the pacemaker has been left in me. I've had no problems except for this weirdness. Yeah, that's going on. Nothing cardiovascular.
It's more inflammation almost.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Completely.
I have an allergic reaction to the metal that this pacemaker is made out of.
Right.
A specific material.
So I go to Dr. Barron, tell him again, I want this thing out. This is what's going on. I have medical records showing him how many times I've been hospitalized, all the injections, all the weirdness that is associated with it. It caused me to have a surgery on a toe because it would go from this finger to that toe, to this finger to that toe.
Weird.
It's the weirdest, just weird. The Lord works in weird ways. I can attest to that. So I go to Dr. Barron and I explain to him all what's going on. I tell him about the Texas A&M study, man a few words, puts me back on the thing, the pacemaker, you know, to check it. And it was like 7 or 8 years span of time that this has recorded. And in that span of time, there was 0.0.
Yeah, it was like less than 1%.
Less than 1%. And
abnormal activity
and
on the
recording. If there was abnormal activity, it could have been from that 0.001 or whatever. When you sneeze sometimes, you know, your heart will just kind of do a weird thing. So because it went from this to
perfect reading.
Perfect for years.
How long was that then?
Actually,
from
5 years.
It was five years?
Yeah. It was a long time.
It was a long time. 5 years with zero abnormal episodes or any blackouts.
Except for the weird swelling stuff.
Yeah, if you would. Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Hmm. Fingers and toes, but the heart was perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So he said, okay, I'll take it out.
This is not
because
normal.
Because honestly,
this doesn't happen.
Right, exactly. And he told me this does not ever happen.
Malpractice reason.
Yeah, exactly.
They can get sued. It's, they take that out and someone dies. Lawsuit.
Right.
Yeah,
well, you,
for
you
sure.
Know, what they do is it looks like the most horrific looking fishing hooks, and they go in the sinus node and the AV node of the heart, and that hooks into that muscle so that those wire connectors are just there permanently. And they told me when they first put it in, you know, that this never comes out, but we will have to, every 12 years, just open you up, put a new battery in it, close you back up. So you just know that this is
a permanent
fixture in your life. And it's so uncomfortable. It was horrible. It was very uncomfortable. We go, finally agree to get it taken out, which, you know, that in and of itself was a victory. But then I'm terrified because now it's surgery again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, which is pretty scary. And, you know, anybody that's been on an operating table, those operating rooms, if you think you're cold right now, girlfriend, that operating room is like ice. And the table, I'm shaking internally anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you get in that cold room. And then I'm just like, just somebody give me the juice. Just get me the juice. Let's get this over with, you know. Yeah. And then he's in the waiting room with some precious my Titus IIs. Mm-hmm. From our old
little church.
Yeah. And they're in there with you.
And another miracle actually ensues prior to this surgery. We'd been praying and praying and praying, you know, convincing the medical world to remove it. We finally get there 5 years later. We're up to surgery morning. We have to have her there early. So we're up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock. Well, right as I'm waking up at home in the bed, getting ready to get out of bed, I see a vision. The Lord gives me a vision. And it takes me a minute to even figure out what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dark in the room, and I see this just a little hazy-looking wire floating. I'm thinking I've got an eyelash in my eye. I'm trying to wake up. And then about the third time, I clear my eyes and I look. And in the room, in the bedroom, I see this little wire, just a little vision of a wire. And I finally say, Lord, what is it? What is it? And he gave me the understanding that the medical staff was going to have trouble with one of the pacemaker wires during the operation that was scheduled for that morning.
It was only supposed to be like 45
and
minutes.
And I knew I had to start praying. So I called Mom, called the family, said, please pray. Mm-hmm. I believe they may have a little trouble getting this wire out. So we get into the surgery. Sure enough, it's supposed to be like a real short surgery, 45 minutes. Yeah. Hour and a half or so goes by.
Wow.
We haven't heard from the nurses. We're getting worried. Finally, the nurse comes in. She explains that one of the wires, the scar tissue, has so embedded and wrapped this wire into the arteries and the heart that they're really having trouble getting one of the leads removed.
Wow.
Right? And we'd already been praying now for three, four hours over this wire that God had showed me the little snippet vision about. And the nurse, she said, I don't know, but if you guys believe in prayer, this would be a good time.
Good time to be praying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly her words. And then she turned around and walked out. She said, we'll keep you informed. So again, we all just gather up, all your Titus II friends, all of our family, all of our friends, we just gather up and begin to bombard heaven.
On her behalf.
To help them get that wire out. And literally, unless it seemed like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It was is literally like this. The door comes back open. The nurse comes in the waiting room. And she said, it's out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But I don't know what happened, but it's out. True story.
Wonderful.
Another miracle.
I believe you. And we are almost out of time again, but I really don't think this story is over yet. And I think we might need to do another show on that. Will you guys come back next week? Yeah, because I think there's so much to this story and we haven't even unpacked all of it because like you're just sharing now, just even to get the wires out, another miracle had to happen. And we really want you to come back and I'm so happy you're agreeing to do that because there's so much to it. It's an incredible story. And you actually asked the doctor for your pacemaker.
I did. Yeah, they kind of looked at me a little funny. But I wanted it, and I've kept it in my Bible right where that verse lands in that Bible, that exact Bible. And they wouldn't give me the leads. They were a little messed up.
After that story, I'm sure.
Too much in there. So, I've got it.
That's incredible. Please join us again next week when we continue this conversation with Toby and Charisse and kind of catch up on what they're doing and how God has used them in the ministry since all of this has happened and what they're doing today and how God is continuing to use them. We'll see you next time at the Simply His Coffee Shop.